we're going to have to rebuild within this wild, wild west of information flow some sort of curating function.
It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve.
We've got to maybe do something with the internet.
Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Somebody will say, oh, freedom of speech, freedom of speech. These are foolish people.
Florida man attempts coronavirus domain speculation and hilarity ensues. New York mayor encourages citizens to report quarantine breakers. Hilarity ensues. The Tony Blair Institute says that state surveillance is a price worth paying amid the pandemic. And YouTube deplatforms a viral video that's criticizing the lockdown. Hello, everybody. Mark Jeftovic here with another edition of Access of Easy. This one is episode 143. Show notes for this week's edition will be up on accessofeasy.com/143. And let's get down to the quotes. Last week's quote was, "To sin by silence when they should protest makes cowards of men." That was Ella Wilcox. The winner was Christian Smith. And this week's quote is, "There must be no barriers to freedom of inquiry. There is no place for dogma in science. The scientist is free and must be free to ask any question, to doubt any assertion, to seek for any evidence, to correct any errors." My personal guess from the way this week is going is nobody on earth knows the origin of that quote. I could even name a few names. Anyhow, Florida man attempts coronavirus domain speculation and hilarity ensues. So I started hearing rumblings about a massive Reopen America themed astroturfing campaign via Krebs on Security, who wrote an article called "Who is Behind the Reopen Domain Surge?" Somebody had registered a whole bunch of reopen and liberate themed domain names in the face of U.S. protests to restart the economy. And it didn't take long for it to be deemed some kind of nefarious and big astroturfing campaign, with Krebs himself saying, quote, "It's reminiscent of the playbook used by Russia to sow discord." You can't see my eyes rolling over the audio podcast, but that's what they're doing right now. Anyway, it turns out it was just some guy in Florida, your proverbial Florida man, with a long history of harebrained get-rich-quick schemes, who went on a two-day binge registering these reopen-themed domains, 203 of them, thought he'd be able to sell them for about $9,000 a pop. Those days ended a long time ago. Anyway, he came under the ire of the internet. He received death threats and other unwanted attention, and he will likely go down in history as being some kind of Kremlin stooge. New York City mayor encourages citizens to report quarantine breakers. Hilarity ensues. So as we reported in last week's Access of Easy, Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York, is urging his fellow New Yorkers to report their fellow citizens who are breaking quarantine rules to the authorities. Quote, "Snap a photo of an offending person or crowd, set the location on the image, and text it to 311-692. Action will ensue." And, you know, kind of predictable. Instead of reporting each other to the authorities, the residents of the city inundated the number with dick pics, profanity-laden texts, and Hitler memes, which, in a weird way, kind of restores my faith in humanity. Major iPhone security flaw discovered in the email app. So a former IDF cybersecurity specialist, now working at a San Francisco mobile forensics company called ZecOps, discovered a critical flaw in the iOS email app that may have been actively exploited in the wild for years. So ZecOps CEO Zuck Avraham found the bug. He was investigating a hacking incident against one of his firm's clients that took place last year in 2019. He published his findings on Monday, April 20th. And the hack works by sending a carefully crafted email, which causes the app to crash, but leaves the device open to having other data exfiltrated. The flaw has existed since at least iOS 6, which came out in 2012, and the earliest known attacks being in 2018. So Apple has acknowledged this report, and they're not commenting on it, but they are planning to roll out an update. So the Tony Blair Institute says state surveillance is a price worth paying amid the pandemic. So the Tony Blair Institute is a think tank founded by the former UK Prime Minister Tony Blair, who staked his reputation on there being weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and he was wrong. This think tank has come to the conclusion that pervasive and ubiquitous state surveillance into the lives of its subjects is an acceptable price to pay in order to escape, quote around escape, the pandemic. Quote, the Institute argues the public must accept a level of intrusion that would normally be out of the question in liberal democracies, end quote. The privacy advocates disagree. They say there are myriad policy options available with more preferable options to uphold the public's right to privacy. The one of them is called the Open Rights Group, and they put out a briefing and they warned that, quote, the government is running significant risks to trust and policy delivery by failing to communicate its approach to data and privacy. It has failed to explain a number of decisions from the use of aggregated mobile data to procuring the services from Palantir and failing to explain its coming approach to data-hungry projects. The use of personal data could be critical to lifting the lockdown through contact tracing and immunity passports. These tasks can be done with privacy-friendly technologies or invasive tools, end quote. The Tony Blair Institute report itself tells us we have three options in front of us. Number one, health system overwhelmed. Number two, economy shut down. Number three, increased surveillance. And that countries can only avoid two of those three outcomes. Of course, they want you to choose door number three, that we will accept the increased surveillance. They even have this like one-click astroturfer in the article on the site. It says, technology gives policymakers a possible way through the lockdown, avoiding high loss of life and economic damage, but the price of this is increased technological surveillance. So all you have to do is click on that button and you send that message to all of your friends and followers. Isn't that convenient? Okay, Foxit PDF Reader is vulnerable to a remote execution attack. The Foxit Reader is a popular free PDF reader, over 500 million users on Windows. They also have Foxit's Phantom PDF. It's a utility suite that lets you convert various files into PDFs. Both affected by the same cluster of 20 critical vulnerabilities, some of which can lead to a remote code execution on Windows boxes. They've issued patches for both utilities. If you're using either one, make sure you upgrade both to their respective versions 9.7.2. WHO Gates Foundation password hack was just old cred dump data. So the Twitters erupted briefly last week when passwords from the World Health Organization, the Gates Foundation, and the alleged Wuhan lab were hacked and dumped on 4chan. This looks like non-news to me. I saw some screen grabs with some of these passwords, and I realized that these are just excerpts from the old anti-public and exploit.in cred dumps. We've got a database of this on domain. Sure, we use it to check client exposures and a lot of this stuff. It's already in there and it's old news. But the story also goes that some of these leaked credentials were still active on some platforms. Hackers on 4chan claim to have used them to access at least one extranet, which maybe true. I don't know. People do tend to reuse their passwords and not change them for a really long time. Stranger things have happened. Court approves Facebook's FTC settlement, but says the law needs updating. So a U.S. federal judge approved the settlement between the FTC and Facebook over the latter's alleged violations of the 2012 Consent Decree and FTC Act. The approval was granted over objections in the form of an amicus brief filed by the Electronic Privacy Information Center, aka EPIC. Quote, the court called Facebook's alleged conduct stunning, unscrupulous, shocking, and underhanded, end quote. Despite not blocking the settlement, the judge did acknowledge the gravity of EPIC's filing and noted that it does, quote, call into question the adequacy of laws governing how technology companies that collect and monetize Americans' personal information, End quote. Okay, a couple of deplatforming stories. Twitter and YouTube deplatform publicly traded biotech company after Trump remarks. So I have to preface this. I don't watch TV. I don't really watch the mainstream media news. So I've never really seen a Trump speech in its entirety. I think I've seen more comedians imitating Trump than I've ever actually heard of Trump. Anyway, I don't really know if he did recommend people drink bleach or swab their throats out with Lysol. It wouldn't really surprise me because politicians say the darndest things. But it also wouldn't surprise me if the mainstream media dumbed whatever he did say down into the most ridiculous and absurd translation possible and then amplified the hell out of it, which almost seems more likely to me. Anyway, in the usual media fracas that ensued over whatever he did say, collateral damage ensued when Twitter and YouTube, in their never-ending errand to protect the world from coronavirus conspiracy theories, took down a publicly traded biotech company that really actually was working on a type of UV treatment via intubation. So a company called Attu Bioscience came out of a merger with Ampio Pharmaceuticals back in 2015. They've got a number of biotech initiatives. Most recently, they've been developing a rapid COVID-19 test kit. They've also been looking at using ultraviolet light to treat coronavirus patients, citing a proof of concept paper dating back from October 2019. They have it's called HealLight. And we link to that in the show notes. At the time of writing, it looks like Twitter has re-enabled their Twitter account, but I'm not sure if YouTube has followed suit. YouTube deplatforms California doctors who criticize lockdown policy in viral video. On April 22nd, two doctors who run a private healthcare facility in California, they held a press conference and spent about an hour outlining why they think continuing the lockdown has become deleterious. Also, it's important to note they both agreed with the public policy track that was originally taken. They both said, had they been in the position that they would have had to make the call in the early days, they would have done exactly the same policy track of starting the lockdown. Then they proceeded to go down on the downsides of continuing the lockdown now, such as increased incidence of spousal abuse, child abuse, depression, increased alcohol and drug abuse, and suicide. They made the assertion that they believe coronavirus is much more prevalent in the population than we think, and if true, it means that the fatality rate is on par with seasonal flu. They also encouraged widespread testing before reopening the economy, but to reopen the economy nonetheless. That's the nutshell version of it. The video went viral, over 5 million views in 5 days, climbing steady. It hit a nerve. I was going to mention the video in this issue of Access of Easy in a postscript, and then I took it out after I posted it on my Facebook timeline because it just came under a lot of hostility. But in retrospect, a lot of that hostility was from a vocal minority of commenters, none of which actually viewed the video itself. And they were dismissing it as bad science, but they didn't know what they were dismissing. Anyway, this morning I woke up to the news that YouTube has removed the video for violation of its code of conduct. I'm having a hard time with this. It's basically a thought crime. The doctors in question did not advocate civil disobedience or breaking quarantine. They did not say coronavirus was caused by 5G or cooked up in a lab in Wuhan. They didn't tell people to drink bleach. They didn't say that Bill Gates is out to implant us all with microchips. Okay? They criticized a public policy. They shed some light on some troubling aspects of it. They say doctors are being pressured to add COVID-19 to cause of death certificates. And they recommended an alternate policy path, one that includes testing everybody. So I don't see anything controversial with this. It's an opinion. You can agree with it. You can disagree with it. You can rebut it. Okay. But just shutting them down, saying you can't say that, that's a thought crime. Anyway, I knew this was going to happen. The first thing I did when I watched it, in its entirety, by the way, is I downloaded a copy, and we've uploaded them now to Access of Easy. The link is in the show notes page. And to anyone who really wants to push back on this and criticize me for even paying any attention to this, I don't want to hear it until you've watched the video. Okay, if you've watched the video and you want to get back to me with here's where they're wrong about this, 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 and this, okay, that's a conversation we can have. But if you haven't watched the video, if you don't know what was said in that video, and you're saying this is bad science, it should be taken down and deplatformed, then you don't know what the f*** you're talking about, literally. The Axis of Easy Salon, number one, with Jesse Hirsch, Charles Hugh Smith, and myself, went live last week on the newly launched accessofeasy.com website. We finally got our initial group podcast up with Charles Hugh Smith, Jesse Hirsch, and me discussing the events of the day. We touched on the phenomena of hypernormalization. That's where everybody pretends that the absurd is real because they can't fathom any alternatives. We talked about the underlying brittleness of the economy and why it's cracking up so fast, and we talked about the crisis of legitimacy in our institutions and leaders. So check it out. It's on the show notes page, accessofeasy.com/143. Please tell all your friends about the website, and if you're out there on your favorite podcast platform like Stitcher, Spotify, and iTunes, leave us a review and a recommendation. That's really going to help us out. Stay safe, stay sane, stay healthy. I'll see you all next week.